Have you ever been the go-between? Do you know what that is? Have you ever been the go-between? We didn't get to hear Robert today, so I put a photo. You know, he's my youngest, so I have to put it up there, you know. But Robert recently, if you know what a go-between is, you know, it's kind of like an agent between two parties, you know, an intermediary, a liaison. And not long ago, Robert had two really good friends, and they started liking each other, but both were shy. So Robert was the go-between. He's like, Dad, they're blowing up my phone. You know, they're constantly, you know. And I heard him one time. He's like, Dude, ask her yourself. That's what, you know, I don't know if she likes Spider-Man. Ask her yourself, you know. So at any rate, I noticed he was a go-between, and he was like, man, it did progress to where they actually started talking to each other. So Bob got out of that. But a go-between, that intermediary, act as an agent, the scriptures teach that Jesus has asked us to be his go-between. I mean, how cool is that? Jesus himself has asked you and I to be his go-between between heaven and earth. He's asked us to do that. I don't know about you, that blows my mind. But listen, folks, he's not asking for perfect people. He wouldn't get anybody, right? I mean, but he's asking for go-betweens. He's asking for an intermediary, a liaison. The scriptures call it a witness. He's asking for a witness. So this is the series we've been talking about, or we're going to start talking about being a witness, being Jesus' witness, and what that means. Let's read our text in Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Jesus talking right at the end of the book of Matthew, just before his ascension. And he says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. Of course, we know the commands were love God, love your neighbor. And be sure of this, that I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So we see here that Jesus teaches his disciples. One of the last things he said to us was, while he was on the earth, was go. Everybody say go.
Go.
Go. That's Christianity. Christianity has to include go. Go, he says. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which picks right up after, this actually is the ascension, he says, but you will receive Jesus again, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So he says, go. Jesus said, go. And he basically said, go everywhere. Go to the world. And I'm glad he's not looking for perfect people. You know who our leader was? You know who the first pastor of the Church of Jerusalem, the first leader of the Church of Jerusalem, he just denied he even knew Jesus like 50 days before that. He's pastoring a mega church of 3,000 people, and he just denied he even knew him three times. So certainly Jesus doesn't have it in his mind that somehow this is all about conduct. It's not about conduct, folks. It's about being his witness, not being perfect, just going. That's really what he's asking us to do. Go, go. Now, I think when we say go, sometimes we think he just means go to church, you know, right? Go to church, sing. How many enjoyed that singing today? I always think they should be in an auditorium, isn't that right? Don't they sound like they, you know, a big auditorium? Do you guys close your eyes when you're singing and just think that I'm in a giant auditorium? that's what it sounds like to me, you know. And that Jesus says, go, but notice where he said, go into where? All the world. Not just go to church. Somehow we decided he just meant go to church. Go to church, sing, set, listen, and then go back home. But that's not Christianity yet. That's half of Christianity. The Christians go to all the world. That's what we do. That's who we are. We just recently watched this movie again about Mother Teresa. It's called The Letters, and it's basically how she got started. And when she was a young nun in, I think, in the 40s in India, in Calcutta, she was a cloistered nun in a convent, but she lived upstairs, and some of the classrooms and stuff was upstairs, and she could see out the window, she could see the poor people in Calcutta. And so she asked Mother Superior and other people above her, she's like, I want to go outside the walls. And they're like, what are you talking about? You're cloistered. You can't, it's against the definition of being cloistered, you know. You can't go outside the walls. And at first they told her, you're going to have to renounce your religion to go outside the walls. You can't go. She said, but God is telling me to go. Mm-hmm. How many are glad she went? Yeah. She changed the world, isn't that right? Mm-hmm. She changed the world, this little lady. Yep. Saw somebody that needed help and went. Mm-hmm. Changed the world. But it started with go. Just go. And that's what Jesus asks us. He asks us to go. Not just church. He does want us to go to church, thank God. But to the world. Go to church, go to the world. Actually, what we have talked about in the past here is church is all about, the reason we come to church, the reason we go to church is to prepare to go to the world, is for training to go to the world. It's for motivation, inspiration, whatever I can dig up, provoke one another unto love. It's for going. This is empty unless we use it to go. This has accomplished nothing yet. This is just training, equipping, unless we go. We have to go somewhere. Now, it may just be to a neighbor. It may be to Japan. I don't know. But go. Mother Teresa just went outside, 20 feet, you know, outside the wall. Go. So church and the world. When Jesus says go, he's thinking go to church, go to the world. Look at Hebrews 10:24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So he's saying, okay, assembling together has a purpose. And we assemble together to motivate one another to go. that's what coming here is to accomplish, to go, to provoke unto love and good works. That's what this is for. That's why we come to church. I love church. I'm glad the writer of Hebrews encourages us to go to church. Ephesians 4:12, Paul's writing here. He's also talking about the leadership in the church, and he says their responsibility is to equip. See that? Their responsibility is to equip. You don't need to know how to be equipped to come here. All you have to do to come here is come and sit. You know, there's no equipment needed. Just come and sit. But if you leave here and go, then there's equipment needed. There's power, Jesus said. You'll receive power to go. He says, equip God's people to do his work and to build. How many like my TV? Pretty nice, eh? See, when I have to set up the screen and stuff, I'm thinking about how can I do this easier, you know? Bob's been slaving away for years putting up that big screen and everything. Anyway, build up the church and the body of Christ. Verse 16, as each part, that's us, as each part does its own special work. See that? Each part has a special work. This has a special work. This has a special work. This has a special work that messes me up sometimes, right? This gets you in trouble. Each part does its own special work, the body of Christ. Each part. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So yes, go to church. Come to church. Assemble. Because what happens, it's an equipping, a training, because this isn't it, folks. This is not it. When we make everything about this, we're missing the whole purpose of church. All of this is to do that, is to go. Why? Because Jesus said, go into all the world and be my witnesses. All right. Let's look at the first generation church. We do this regularly, but let's look at them today and see, did they listen to Jesus? Did they go? Jesus said, go. Did they go? Did they go to church? Did they go to the world? Acts 2:41, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. That was the day of Pentecost. And 3,000, so they became a mega church in one day. That was the day of Pentecost. 3,000 believers were added to the church that day. 3,000. And Peter, the denier, is the head of the church. So these 3,000 people know it must not be about conduct. Isn't that right? Because the whole world knows what he did. So Jesus, it must not be about conduct. It must be about willingness. It must be about going. It must be about just obeying. Go. He said go. So let's look at this church that had this leader and see where they went. Verse 42, and all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Notice that they were devoted to church. Thank God. They were devoted to meeting together. They were devoted to listening to the apostles' doctrine. They were devoted to prayer. Thank you for praying today. We miss Bob's our prayer, you know. And so thank you. And devoted to fellowship, devoted to casseroles, you know, sharing food. And they were devoted to doing that. Thank God for people that are devoted to church. Because it's part of, it's an important part. I know a lot of people, you know, I'm a minister, and so I just heard it yesterday. Well, I don't like church. I like to help the poor, but I don't like church. Well, there's two sides to it. If we're going to follow this first generation church, we're going to assemble. There's something happening there too for a purpose, and that is to go. All right. So what were those meetings for? They had a lot of meetings. They seemed to, at one point it said daily they were meeting. I mean, they were fired up. Wouldn't you have been fired up had, let's just say, yesterday we saw Jesus in person ascend to heaven? You'd be pretty fired up, isn't that right? You'd be like, what else matters? You know, so they were pretty fired up, you know. and they had this outrageous message. They were telling the world that, hey, that you remember Jesus, the one that was crucified, you know, a couple months ago? Well, he's alive. What are you talking about, he's alive? Well, and the Bible says 500 people saw him. So you had 500 eyewitnesses saying, you know, I saw him. He's alive. So that was a wild message. Who's going to believe this message? Jesus, we saw him die. We heard about him. We all knew he died. Now you're saying he's alive. So what were these meetings for? They come together. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. Now let's look at that. The meetings took place, and what was happening at the meeting was a motivation, a provoking, and it's somehow inspiring or encouraging to share. That's all it was, to share. You want to be a witness for Jesus? Forget about trying to be perfect. You've already lost that. Do you realize that? You've already lost that battle. You're not going to do it. You're never going to measure up. You're never going to improve enough. It's never going to happen. Can't do it. That's what the cross proved. Nobody can do that. Give that up. It's a waste of time. But do you want to be his witnesses? Do you want to witness for Jesus? Share. That's how you witness for Jesus. Just share. Just share. How many know how to share? We didn't like it at first, right? When we were little, I got a couple little grandkids now, you know, they're growing up. They don't like sharing. I tried to take a bean on Friday or Thursday night. I tried to take a bean from my little toddler grandchild. Oh, she didn't like that at all. Just one bean. I didn't even get a spoonful or anything. I just wanted one bean. And she looked at me like, oh, that's my bean. That part doesn't come natural. You know, we grew up with that. Jesus comes along and he says, I want you to go into all the world. I want you to be my witness. How do I do that? Share. Share. Because when you share, something happens. I've discovered this in my own personal life. It's certainly in Scripture, but I've discovered this in my own personal life. When you go, When you witness for Jesus, when you go be my witness, don't go with your Bible scriptures, don't go with your arguments, don't go with your ready position, debate positions, don't even go with words, really. Words come in handy after they ask you. But when you go, how did the first generation church go? They shared, right? That's how you go. That's how you witness. You go share. That's how you don't even need words. You certainly don't need all kinds of, you know, all these doctrines and debates and arguments. We certainly don't need those. Matter of fact, those cause nothing but trouble in my experience. I used them for years. I can't tell you how many people I offended and turned off using words. I don't remember one person in 3 years that I've ever offended sharing. And if they were offended, they were offended before they came to me. Jesus said, be my witnesses. Share. Now, this is what I've learned. Something happens to me when I share. Something happens to me. That's why he says, do it. He says, share. When I go and I see and I experience and I share specifically with those in need, when I see that, when I experience that, something happens to me. Something, a discipling takes place. So Jesus said, go be my witnesses. How do I do it? Just share. And you get so excited sharing so much fun, that one of the things I've noticed that has happened to me is I don't really want stuff very much anymore. I really don't want anything. When you regularly see people with nothing, I mean nothing, it seems wrong to just want some more stuff for me. I need some more stuff. Was that me? Was that the chicken in the oven? Something happens to me when I go. And I see a change, a difference, is when I regularly see people in trouble or see people hurting, I don't know, I just automatically become more grateful, more appreciative, less needy, less desiring stuff. And it's been very freeing for me. I like really not looking for me. I've had enough years of that. So Jesus said, you want to be my witness? Go. And when you go, share with those in need. Now, I've also learned this about sharing with those in need. How many know people don't change much? Have you noticed that about human beings? Just even look in your own life. We don't change much. I think one study I read said we're open to about 5% of what we believe to even be open to possibly moving it. We're pretty much set in our ways. People are set in their ways. I've noticed that it doesn't matter if we live in Ponce Inlet or live on the street. People are pretty much set in their ways. Nobody's changing all that much. Fortunately, Jesus doesn't say go change. He says go share. Because people aren't changing. I've known some folks now that live on the street. They've been there for 2.5 years. They haven't changed a bit. But just ask yourself, how much have you changed in 2.5 years? You know, that a lot of times we might change 3 or 4 times in life. Thank God for those changes. You know, I can look back to maybe some real major changes in my life, but they certainly don't happen every day. You know, they're very gradual, and then there's a change. Most people don't change. That's not why I go. I'm not looking to change anybody, really. I go because he asked me to go. That's why I go. He he asked me to go. That's enough for me. A young guy came up to me yesterday. He's one of our volunteers, but he's from the streets. You know, he came from the streets, but he's still a young guy, and he's trying to pull himself out. He actually is in a point in his life where some change may be taking place. And he was real serious, and he came up towards the end, and he's like, "I need to talk to you." I said, "Oh, yeah, sure." He goes, "I know all these people." You know, he's basically, this is where he's from. He goes, "I know all these people." And what he was implying was, "I'm concerned that you're feeding these people and you don't know who you're feeding." And I let him know, "I know exactly who we're helping here. There are people that really need help." And he's like, I'm just concerned. And basically he was implying, did you know these people are drunks and drug addicts and pimps and prostitutes and criminals? Did you know these people are like that? And my answer is, yes, I do know that. That sounds like Jesus' crowd to me. I mean, that's who he hung out with. And religion hated him for it, killed him for it. But he was concerned for us, you know. He's like, I know these people. I'm like, I don't want to know them. Not any more than I do. I don't want to know what they do in their own life. I just want to share a meal with them. You say, why? Because Jesus asked me to. He asked me to go share my food. That's all. And that's why I go. And every week, it's the same. He still is asking me to go. Go into all the world and share what you have. And especially with those in need. Wasn't that what the first generation church did? They had just seen Jesus. They, you know, they're all fired up. And what they ended up doing was meeting together, getting fired up in its courage to just go share. And it's so much fun that this is what happens. Instead of thinking, oh, I need this, I want this, I need more of this, I got to get this new thing, I got to get all this stuff, you know, I was on that treadmill for years. But instead of doing that, you start thinking, I don't need anything, what can I sell so I can share more? Isn't that what they did? Shared, then they sold, so they could share more. They were so inspired about the sharing, you know. I got to free myself up. Downsize, cut back. I need nothing. Isn't that how Jesus walked the earth? He didn't need anything. He's just looking to share, never looking to get anything for himself. Listen, folks, we got eternity to get stuff for ourselves. Right now, we're in a situation where Jesus himself has asked me to go be his witness. To share. That's what I do. Share with those in need. All right, I got a lot more to say. Let's look at a couple of experiences. This is interesting. Let's read the scripture. We've been talking about this, but let's read the scripture. John 14:23. Jesus replied, "All who love me will do what I say." Well, what did he say? Go, and when I go, share. With who? Those in need, the whole world, those in need. Go, share with those in need, where? To the whole world. Next door, other side of the earth. But look what he says. When I do what he says this, "My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them." Isn't that something? When I go, he comes and just rests with me. I see him. That's what happens. When I go, I see him. Why? Because he comes. He comes and rests with me. Makes his home with me. Who? Jesus. Why? I have no idea why. Sometimes I don't even want to be with me. But he comes. Why? Because I've improved to such a degree that he can hang out with me? No. Because I go. Go. Go to that person that's hurting. Just go. Could be somebody you work with. Could be a friend. Could be a neighbor. Could be a homeless person. Could be an age-out foster girl that we connect with. Go, he says, go. And I change, I get closer to God. All right, two quick stories, and we'll wind this down. Jesus is in the middle of a conversation here with the woman at the well. She's a Samaritan woman. She's come to the well to draw water. Jesus starts a conversation with her. This is part of his going. He starts a conversation with her. Hey, can you get me some water? Give me a drink. And they start talking about Abraham's well. And then he tells her something about herself. And then he says this to her. Go and get your husband, Jesus told her. I don't have a husband, the woman replied. Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands. And you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. Can you see how Jesus points out positive things no matter what? He's like, well, at least you told me the truth. Would you agree with me that this woman was not, she was not the high and mighty, rich and powerful. She was really an outcast. This woman was an outcast. Number one, she's a Samaritan. Number two, she's a woman. Number three, she's had five husbands. Number four, she's living with another guy. She's not society's poster child for how you want to live. And Jesus has no problem with her whatsoever. No problem with her whatsoever. Not one word of correction for this woman. Not one word. He did let her know he knew who she was. You know, I know you. Well, would you agree with me? After five husbands, maybe she learned something, but after five husbands and you're living with a sixth man, she's probably not changing. She's kind of set in her ways, right? She's probably not changing. If I'm trying to change this lady, I'm going to have a hard life. Jesus doesn't seem to try to change her at all. He just goes, witnesses to her, shares his life with her. As a matter of fact, that's what he said. He said, if you would ask me, I would share with you living water that you'd never thirst again. Scroll down. You can read this whole story. I'm just picking out a couple verses. Verse 27, just then his disciples came back and they were shocked to find him talking to a woman. Well, not only a woman, but a Samaritan woman. And they were shocked that he had descended down to this low level of talking with this rejected person, this outcast. They were shocked that he would do that. And then, of course, she goes, she leaves while the disciples are asking him, why are you talking to her? And then she leaves and she brings back to town with her. And it says, when they came out to see him, being Jesus, they begged him to stay in their village, so he stayed for 2 days. Now we know, they say it, now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. But now notice how Jesus descended, his operation. His operation was he went to someone in need. He didn't seek to change them. And he just shared his life with them. And next thing you know, she wins her whole town. Wins her whole town. Five husbands living with another guy. Wins her whole town to Jesus. And we're stuck on the five husbands, right? We're stuck on the second husband. Oh, you're terrible. Go and share. All right, one more quick story. John 8. Chapter 3, Jesus speaking. As he was speaking, he's speaking to the crowd. The teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? Let me just ask you a question before we read on. Whose side do you think Jesus is going to take in this story? The powerful, the rich, the mighty, the religious, the law, or a woman in need? See, where does he go? Remember, he says, go. I want you to go. How do you go? He's not going to those folks. Those are the folks that killed him. He's not going to those folks. He goes directly to the woman in need. On her side. And of course, we know how this story ends up, but let me ask you, did he require her to change before he helped her? See that? All we've ever heard is, go and sin no more. Well, I believe he said that because she very well could have been killed the next time if he wasn't there to save her. And that's why he told her, man, you better get out of here. Don't keep doing this. You're going to be in real trouble. I don't think it had anything to do with, or I'm not going to like you. Mm-hmm. He already helped her. He already helped this woman. Because that's what God does. Go and share with those in need. That's what he did. Before any change. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, he said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Now go and sin no more. Neither do I. You want to be his witness? You want to go into all the world. You don't have to be perfect. You just need to go. And when you go, look for those in need and share what you have. Amen.